The Action Drunkies.
Welcome to The Action Drunkies. I'm Rob, the Cinema Drunkie.
And I'm Mac, the All-Star.
And today we're going to be covering 2020's The Old Guard, starring Charlize Theron, Netflix film, directed by Gina Prince Blythewood. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Forgive me if I'm not. Written by Greg Rucker. And, of course, this synopsis reads, a covert team of immortal mercenaries are suddenly exposed and must now fight to keep their identity a secret, just as an unexpected new member is discovered. So, Mac, I'll let you go first. What are your thoughts on this movie?
So, when I checked it, when I was going to check it out, like, I read the little synopsis piece for it. It sounded interesting. I actually have to say I did enjoy the movie. Yeah, there were some pieces that I would have did differently, maybe a little better, but overall, like the storyline, characters, I thought the movie was pretty good.
Yeah, at least one of us really liked it a lot, because I kind of did.
I thought it was pretty good, man.
I know, you hit me up. I remember you hit me up, and he was like, yo, did you see The Old Guard? And I was like, nah. And he's like, nah, you should see it. It's good. And I was like, all right, but I kind of drug my heels on it because I wasn't really into. I mean, it came out I think the same weekend on streaming that Money Plane did with Edge and
I don't even think I've seen that.
No, probably not. That one flew on the radar, but the funny thing is that I have Netflix, so The Old Guard is basically, you know, for lack of a better term, free, even though, you know, you pay for Netflix.
Right.
It's there. I had to pay for Money Plane, and I chose to pay for Money Plane other than watching The Old Guard, which shows how interested I was in watching the film.
I mean, listen, I didn't even know about this movie until I saw, like, a trailer. And I was like, you know what? That shit looks pretty good. Let me check this out. And then when it dropped, I did. I was off of work. My wife was going to work. I threw it on. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, all through dislike this movie. It has some good points, but it has a bunch of stuff where I was just like, but we'll get into that. But first, let's go into our good points as far as the acting. The cast, I think, is really good. This was a really good cast that they assembled, especially Charlize Theron, who was also a producer on the movie.
I thought the mix of cast was pretty good. I think the only problem I had, and maybe it was the acting of the new one that Powers have discovered. I was kind of getting a little tired of her.
Yeah.
Way through, like, yo, just kill her already, man. Let's call this a day. Like, get on board or not.
Obviously not. They can't kill her because, you know, she's...
Well, I mean, keep putting her down until eventually she gets on board.
Right. I mean, her acting was fine, but I her character, after a while, like, she does start to get a bit on the annoying side.
Yeah, like, man. Like, yo, you got powers. Suck it up.
Like, but the scene is that, for context, the immortals, when a new one is I guess born per se, they all have a dream about or a vision about the new one, which, you know, which forces them to seek her out because she's a marine in Afghanistan, and during a little operation, she gets her throat slit and she's declared dead right there, and then she miraculously comes back to life, leading to them having a vision, so leading Charlize Theron, who they're on their mission. They just got set up in the beginning, which was a good sequence.
That's probably what it was. That opening sequence did hook me. Like, I was like, oh man, the whole movie's gonna be like this. It's gonna be crazy.
No, I like the sequence. The sequence is well shot and choreographed. Like, it does get a tad too close to being overly shaky,
yeah,
but not to the point where it's like I can't tell what's happening. Like, I could make out what's happening, but like I personally prefer crystal clear clarity when it comes to my action films. And yeah. But that, it wasn't too bad. The problem I have with that is that everybody's dressed in black, it's all black surfaces. Like, right. And it gets uncomfortably close to blending in together. So it's like you could hardly see it, but like they have a bright spotlight, you know, that they shine on. So it's like you can make out what's happening, but like that's one pet peeve I have about movies, like where you have like a fight scene in it, like they have dark clothing with a dark background, you know, I guess a dark background, and it's like you can't do that because then they start to blend in together and I can't see, it's hard to make out right. the movements. But they made it work, and that was a good sequence. So what happens is, you know, they get set up, they get tricked into doing a mission, they think they're about to save some girls, and they get set up. So like they're on their way to find like the person who set them up.
Always set somebody up, man.
Yeah, the CIA, right? Copley, who's ex-CIA. So they're trying to find him. Like they're on a mission to find him. And after Niall, she gets her throat slit and she's declared dead. When she wakens back to life, they're like, oh, we have this vision. So Charlize Theron, who's basically the main character, Andy, she volunteers to go get her while the other ones go look for Copley. And this is where like problems started arising for me. Because, okay, so Niall, she comes back to life and everybody's like, oh my God, I thought you were dead. And like immediately she starts getting shunned by like her fellow soldiers, like her friends and stuff.
Yeah, because they thought you were dead. They think she a witch.
Yeah, like, but like, here's the thing: like, when they go on the assignment, like, you know, to get this insurgent, she you know, he fires through the door, and like, you know, they rush in, and Niall has to shoot him, and he's down, but they wanted him alive, so she's trying to save his life so he doesn't bleed to death, and she's telling her friend, help me, which, you know. And I don't know what homegirl was doing, but she wasn't helping, which led to Niall getting her throat slit. And Niall dies, and she comes back to life. And it's like, you know, if you guys were close friends, you'd be like, oh my God, my friend, they're back to life. I'm so helped. Especially if you're feeling guilty, you know, because she died because you weren't.
I got the vibe that chick was like oh my God, why is she back to life though, like what,
right devil. I could see something like that, you know, maybe she's like, you know, into like superstition and stuff, and that probably scared her. But it's like the whole base starts like when she's walking by, there she goes, right? And Superior has come in and said that they got a chopper waiting for you, they're going to take you to a base in Germany. And then she goes into her bunk, and she sees that her bags are already packed, and like everybody's like, "Oh my God, there she goes!" So
yeah, you gotta go. That's it, Devil, Diablo, get out of here.
Right. So
yo, I mean, realistically, they probably did like check for the pulse and stuff like that. So she was probably declared dead. So even the bosses are like, "Yo, you're going to Germany. Right, you're about to be a lab rat."
Yeah, she resurrects right on the slab, so it's like, oh my God, like, what happened? You know, so, but what bugs me out is that her bags were packed for her, which means that we want you to go, all right?
Yes.
She gets that, but she just grabs her phone and goes off and decides to just sit down and listen to music.
Yo, she gotta chill out. I mean, like, I kind of dig it because I do things like that. Like, I'll come home from work and I put on no video games and just throw on my Pandora playlist and chill out until my wife gets home.
I could see that. You know, but
she's not leaving right now. Like, even if she grabbed her bags, she can't leave.
I would have just grabbed and just left, you know. But wait,
that's what I'm saying. Where are you going to go? The flight's not probably until the morning.
Right, just sit there, wait, you know, for. I mean, but the two superiors do show up, and it was like, you need to come with us. And that's when Charlize shows up, which is, like, she showed up really fast, because they were on a train, like one of them.
She just hopped off that train.
she hopped off that train and then she just ends up like in Afghanistan. Like,
it's movie
just
magic. It's movie magic.
Yo, but like, here's the thing. Like, so she shows up, she knocks out the two superiors and then knocks her out. And then we cut to the, a few minutes later, we cut to Nio in the back of the Humvee. And like Charlie's driving through the desert. And it's like, how did she just get her off base without like nobody seeing her?
Yeah, but she's been alive for thousands of years. I'm pretty sure she already either seen this or done that.
Yeah. I mean, I know I shouldn't be asking for logic in a movie about immortal mercenaries who've been alive for like hundreds and hundreds of years. But right. I just find it weird.
I get it though.
Like she just got this girl off base. Like she just picked her up and dragged her off base and stole a Humvee, you know what I'm saying, and just got it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like so this is where Nio starts annoying me. So like she got her throat slashed and she came back to life. And then after Andy, Charlize Theron's character is named Andy, she wakes up in the back of the Humvee and she jumps out and she tries to run away. So to get her to stop, Andy shoots her in the head, like, you know, to stop her and also to show her that, look, watch, the bullet wound is going to regenerate, which it does. And she's like, you shot me. And it's like, yeah, like, you know, no, I need you to get in the car. Like, you know, I'm going to tell you. And they go to the plane, which is going to fly them. But then Niall's like, oh, you probably drugged me. Like, you used blanks and you drugged me, made me hallucinate or some shit like that. And it's like, like, dude, this is the second time you died. Like,
I would have shot her again right there. Oh, yeah, okay, bow.
Right. Like, you just admitted, oh, you shot me, but now you're like, oh, you didn't shoot me. You drugged me. You did something to me. She said, did I do something to you when, you know, was I there when you got your throat slit? No. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's just like, oh, she's going to be one of those characters.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's fine as a character, but, like, she has those moments where it's just like, oh, God, she's annoying. Well, she sticks her hand in the fire, and it's like, okay, it probably didn't hurt when she got shot through the head, because, you know, obviously getting shot through the head, there's no pain in that.
You immediately, lights out.
Right, but I know it hurt when you got your throat slit, because it took you, like, a little while to die. So you knew there was pain to be felt, but right. So you get to stick your hand in the fire to be like, oh, I wonder if it hurts. It's like... And to which the other immortal Booker, he laughs at her. This means we stop dying, don't mean we stop hurting. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. And it's like, oh, God. But I digress. I will say, though, that the actress, though, is Kiki Layne is the name of the actress who plays now. And she's good. She's basically... our eyes through the situation because she's the new recruit, you know, she's the new immortal. So like
this she is has all... morals.
Yeah. You know, and it's hard for her, you know, to accept this, which leads to her leaving them in the situation where they need her most, which is another annoying moment. I gotta see my family. I still got time with them, lady. They just explained to you how many times
it is. Yeah. Right.
And you're still trying to hold on to that last bit of life, you know. I'm sorry, you just got to give it up, you know. And I understand, like, you know, a character like that, it's hard, you know, when you're thrust into a situation like that, it's hard for you to accept that, you know, to just leave your life behind. But, you know, you see what's happened with Andy and the rest of the crew, like Andy and Booker and Joe and Nikki, like the rest of the immortal crew that, you know, she's now a part of. And it's like, you know, they're sitting there, they're telling you the story, you know, they're telling you their background and what this kind of life details, what you have to deal with. So, you know, the fact that they've explained this to you in detail and you're still like, oh, I want to try to live a part of my life. I'm like, honey.
Word. I still want to live.
Right, totally. But I digress. But she was fine. She was fine. Charlize Theron is really good. You know, Yeah, she's definitely got that badass action heroine.
Fast Furious movies she's doing.
Yeah, like that and Atomic Blonde. And
yeah, that was pretty good too.
Yeah, and Furiosa in Mad Max Fury Road. And like she's really getting into the action hero genre nicely. She's got that badass exterior. Obviously, her training, she utilized her training from Atomic Blonde in a lot of the action sequences, which I definitely want to get into. Like this the action sequences in this movie are obviously largely inspired by the John Wick movies. I don't know. But yeah, she's definitely utilizing the kind of judo throws and kicks and stuff that you saw her doing in Atomic Blonde and what she learned from 8711, who did all the John Wick movies and stuff like that. So obviously that stuff came in handy and really worked too, because the action sequences are very well done. They're not that many, which is, I feel like, to the movie's detriment. Like, there's like, what, maybe four? Like three?
Maybe the second one will have more. I feel like they did also have to tell at least a little bit of story in this one.
Yeah.
What was up.
No, I get that. And we'll definitely get into that. But there's the opening fight where they get set up. And then there's the main
military fight. Yeah, well, this girl getting her throat slit.
I mean, that I won't consider that an action sequence. That's more like, you know, just a shooting exchange that doesn't really contain any bit of like stunt work or action and stuff. I mean, when the dude gets shot, maybe that was a stunt guy. But I would say like the church scene where the soldiers show up and they take Joe and Nikki.
Right.
And Andy goes in and she kills all the guys, the bad guys, and you know, she's guns as well as sword, and you know, she's,
that's a pretty good scene too.
No, it's a damn good scene. It's a damn good scene, you know, showcasing just how much of a badass Andy is, you know. And then they have like where they go into Copley's place, they get taken right there, and then like, you know, they have the big showdown at the end. So it's like, yeah, like maybe like three sequences, if I remember correctly, and it's like they're all well done. They're all well done, like, you know, well shot. I know the director, she had minor experience before because she directed the first episode of the Marvel show Cloak and Dagger. Right. So, you know, she had experience with this before, but she does a very good job covering. You know, like I said, like sometimes the camera gets a little shaky. You know, but it doesn't get too shaky. Like, you know, not right. like Bourne movies shaky, which is just...
Yeah, not too out of hand.
Yeah. And also, like, it's cut very well, not cut excessively. It was like one minor moment, but luckily it didn't have really any... It was more like, I guess, to shorten the amount of time between the sequence. So they cut it up real fast. Luckily it didn't contain any action, so it really didn't bother me that much. See, the problem is like, I wouldn't mind like the lack of action in the movie if the story was like really good. And to me, the story isn't. I thought it was, you know, this is like, I remember when we were discussing this before, like I said, like, this is basically like Six Underground meets Highlander, you know, and like the immortal side of the story where they're telling, like, you know, how mortals are forever lonely, you know, and they get tired of living and all that stuff. It's kind of like done already in Highlander and like done better in Highlander. So I was like, you know, that's where the movie kind of just left me like, this is kind of dull, you know. I was just looking at
it. I mean, I get it. I try to go into movies like, it's a movie, so let's give it a shot.
Right. No. I do, like, you know, and I was, you know, into it, but it wasn't, like, something, like, that truly captivated me. It was kind of just, like, I've seen this before already, this kind of story told, and it's not doing anything new with it. You know, it's kind of just, you know, going through the motions. So, like, I don't really have the story to hold me. All I, you know, I have, like, the acting and the action. And while the acting is good, the action is too far between. So I was just kind of like, okay, hurry up and get on with it. You know, and it's really long too. Like it's over 2 hours, and it's like this.
Is it really? I didn't even realize.
Yeah, see, because you were enjoying the movie. Word. It was like I felt every minute. I'm like, dude, this is just going on for a while, and it really doesn't need to. But you know, it is what it is. I also thought that they kind of wasted Jewel Ijafar, who plays Copley, because he's a really good actor, and he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in a movie Red Belt, which I love.
I mean, I felt like they could have put him in more, but when he did have camera time, he definitely. Like, made the most of it.
Yeah, no, because he's a really good actor, so absolutely. And that's my problem when they get really good actors like this, and they put them in, like, kind of thankless roles where, like, they don't have much to do. It's like, you just wasted.
Say yes to the role, though, so.
I mean, of course, you know what I'm saying? Because it was probably a big check, and of course he's not going to say no. But it's like something like when we talk about Bruce Willis and how Bruce Willis does all these movies, and it's obviously... Bruce Willis doesn't care. You can see it on his face and his performance. He does not care. He did this for the check. And that was that. So we don't mind if he's given a thankless role because it's like, he doesn't care. So why should we care that he doesn't care? See, where Ijafar, who plays Copley, he still gives the role a level of honesty and dignity. So it's kind of like you kind of wish he was in the movie more. So it's like, oh man, what a waste of him.
Oh, I mean, even when his whole little, the reasons for why he was doing what he's doing are revealed.
Yes. I
mean, him redeeming himself by the end was great, but I really didn't care that I didn't see him throughout the movie until he started, like, when they started showing him towards the end.
Right. Like even when... They like the moment where spoilers, which I should have announced earlier. Spoilers. This is all spoilers. When
this
we
is find all out, spoilers.
Like so the reason they're set up is that a pharmaceutical CEO wants to use them for experiments, like in order to like you know develop cures for diseases, which is noble. But the guy's a prick, and he's going to torture them relentlessly because he doesn't care because they're immortal. And the reason
that something that's probably happened throughout time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like these guys, they really don't care. They're just gonna, you know, people and things are just lab rats to them. And, you know, they're just gonna do whatever. The reason why Copley helps them is because his wife died of cancer. So, like, you know, he felt like, oh well, like you know, if this could be something noble, you know, to help them, so nobody would have to suffer the way I did. But when he sees that, like, dude, this guy's a jerk, and he's gonna completely just absolutely torture them and have no care in the world about how they feel and all that kind of stuff. He immediately starts regretting what he's done and he decides to help them. And that's cool. So like when, but also not only that, but they utilize one of their own members, Booker.
You find that snitch.
Yeah, he did the snake.
That like made me, I was actually tight. I was like, what? Come on, man.
I kind of saw that coming. Like he was the one who set up the meeting with Copley, and like when after they get set up, like they're burying their clothes that they came in, and he was like, "Oh man, I had him checked out. He seemed okay." And I'm like, "Yeah, he set it up. It was him." So when like he reveals himself to be their traitor, it's like, yeah, I kind of saw that coming, you know. So there was no real suspense for that, but. I mean, he kind of redeems himself, like in himself, when he realizes that unfortunately Andy has lost her immortality because they do mention that immortality just stops whenever it feels like it. They don't know when, like you could go on forever, or you could have it for, you know, maybe 50 years or 100 years, and then it just stops. They don't know when it'll stop, but it's just gonna stop. Eventually, and out of the blue. And unfortunately, it does stop for Andy. And when he reveals himself as a traitor, he shoots her to subdue her, but then realizes her wound's not healing. It's like, oh my gosh, she lost her healing ability. And they get captured, and they get taken to the lab, and they're going to be tortured and stuff. And then Niall, who we already mentioned, has left them because she wants to go, you know, I guess chill with her family. She realizes, oh, she makes it like she puts it together in her head. Oh, it was Booker who set them up. So I got to go back and I got to rescue them. And that's when Copley's like, oh, I'll take you in there. And I'm going up there with you. And she was like, no, you're not coming up with me because you could get killed. I can't. You know, I'm immortal. I can't die. And he's like, oh, all right. And it's like, you know, I guess I could see the logic in that. But still, it's like, you know, you could have used him, but I can understand that. Which leads to the final sequence with this battle with the bad guys and the high rise, which is very well done. I like how they all realize that Andy has no healing factor because she's no longer immortal. So they have to do like kind of like this complex way of like protecting her. Like Niall takes some shots, like, you know, uses herself as a shield to protect her at times. And like Joe and Nikki and Booker, you know, they cover her. I mean, she still gets...
I mean, that end sequence was pretty good. At least it was nice that she finally woke up to like her abilities.
Right, because it's what they said, like, we're all we got in this situation because we're going to live past everybody we know.
But you everybody did also see the good that they've done throughout time.
Yes.
Because what's-his-name showed them, like, you know, Hopkins showed them.
Right. He's been showing them, like, he's been following them for years and seeing their various good deeds and everything they've done throughout the centuries. And realized, wow, like, they really, you know, all their deeds have really changed.
And it was more like one small deed. They did something over here, but the ripple effect.
Yeah, totally. So, like, you know, and Andy was complaining about that earlier, like, oh, we've done nothing, you know, and it was like, no, you have. You don't know the amount of things that happened because of you, you know. And like you said, like the ripple effect, you know, they saved one guy here, and that guy, like, went on to have, like, a grandkid who, like, cured this disease or, like, saved these people, you know, in World War II or something, you know. So, like, they really kind of changed the face of the world through their various, you know, small little good deeds they did here and there, which makes Niall realize, oh, this is important. They are important, and I need to help them before, you know, they get turned into human lab rats. Well, another thing I liked is, we forgot to mention, is that Andy had kind of a sidekick named Quinn, played by Veronica Ingo, who was in a great, great film called Fury, a Vietnamese action film. She was also in The Last Jedi. Remember Rose from Last Jedi? Mm-hmm. The Veronica Ingo, who plays Quinn, played her sister in the beginning battle of The Last Jedi, the one who sacrificed herself to blow up ship. Yeah, that was her, the girl who played Quinn, Andy's sidekick in there. And This is one aspect that I like. It's messed up, but they get captured and tried as witches, and they get what year was it, like
the Salem witch trials?
Yeah, like around that time. Yeah, and they get hung, they, you know, burned at the stake, but these guys realize that these women are too powerful together, so they separate them and they take Quinn and they lock her in an Iron Maiden. And they dump her in the ocean. And because she's immortal, for like 500 years, she's been continuously drowning. And that is just horrific when you think
about it. Wow, I couldn't even imagine.
Like, that aspect I like, you know, when they talk about the background to immortality, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you could have something horrific like that happen, you know.
I couldn't even imagine. You drown, then you wake up, drown again. Oh, my God.
Like, you're continuously dying for 500 years. It's just absolutely just terrible, you know. But, yeah, like, the other, like, you know, that aspect I like, you know, and the acting and the action was well done. But I think I was just found the story to be dull. And it's weird, too, because there was really, like, a kind of, like, a battle over, like, the story. Because it's based on a comic series by the credited screenwriter Greg Rucka, who wrote the comic, and he wrote a screenplay which Charlize Theron, who's a producer on the movie, she didn't like. And she was like, you gotta rewrite this. And he wrote it again, and she didn't like that one either, so he was fired. And they brought in another writer to try to work out the script, and that one wasn't working out. So when the director was hired, she actually went back and rehired Greg to rewrite the script. And fortunately, you know, this was the one that they went with when it came time to shoot the movie. But it was like, I haven't read the original comic, so I don't know how.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so I can't really speak for how faithful it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe if I would have, I probably would have liked the story better. I don't know. But yeah, I just found, like, you know, it was like well made, but just kind of dull story. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's fine.
The Action Drunkies.